Hour number deuce here. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that. The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Give Casey about 15, 20 minutes. He'll have that first hour up for you. If you can't wait, if you got no patience, if you're Bart Scott, well, jump on the YouTubes or the Odyssey app. Rewind, fast forward, except for into the future, for that would be impossible. Stephen Vaughn in the chair next to me for the day. You and Casey are going to do a little primetime tonight.
Friday. Tomorrow, oh, yeah.
Today's not Friday?
No.
No, I was hoping today was Friday.
I lose track. The only way I know days is because of the radio station.
That's a good point.
Because I'm like, oh, I got to go to work today.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, it's got to be one of the 5 days. And then I look it
up. You can put it on the board.
Even then, because I have a show sheet that tells me Tuesdays are free consultation and Thursdays are 10 toes, that's usually the only time I'm able to remember myself.
Right.
Otherwise, it's easy to forget.
So plus, then it's the Timbers like, played on a Wednesday this week.
Yeah, see, and if the Timbers play on a Saturday, then I'm working that day too. Mm. I just assume I work every day. It's like drinking. I just drink the same amount every day. The same amount.
That is the same. Yeah, it's not even... Yeah.
Consistency, dude.
Right.
I think it's the smart way to roll.
Consistency in your life.
Consistency in my life. Well, there's more consistency in my life, and that is that the Blazers were interested in a player that they did not get. Let's talk a little Peyton Watson here.
Oh, you don't say.
Before we get into the Joe Cronin situation of the whole thing, the NBA is such a... interesting, fascinating place to me, okay? I'm looking at Peyton Watson's stats, okay? He's been in Denver, was drafted by Denver in 2022. Mm-hmm. He averaged 8 minutes a game in his first season, 18.6 in his second, 24.5 in his third, and almost 30 minutes last year.
He was good.
For the Denver Nuggets. He is a career 36% shooter from three, but was 41% last year, averaging... Where'd you go? 14.5 points a game last year. Now, I think it's interesting in the NBA because it feels like, and I don't just mean this fan base, but I feel like a ton of other fan bases see guys like this and are like, boom, swing, home run, let's do it, lock him up. You know, I think Blazer fans have done that a little bit with Shaedon Sharpe. You know, I think you can find a player on probably any team that's a young guy that you drafted that you really want to hit that you can kind of say the same thing as well. What I was confused by, and maybe it's because he's 6'8 and 200 pounds, and you know if you listen to this show, Danny loves the length. He loves the size at 6'8. I don't want to say that he's like a dime a dozen kind of player, but it feels like a lot of hype and hubbub about an okay player.
He's still relatively new, though, because as you said, his first couple of seasons, he didn't play much.
Sure.
At UCLA, he wasn't very good. He was a highly touted guy. Didn't really play at UCLA, but then was still a first-round pick because of his athleticism and, you know, and the size of the player. But you go back and you look at his numbers, you know, he played in I'm looking at his 34-game stretch he had. He averaged basically 18 points, shot 45% from three, 51% from the field. And that's where I think you get excited, is that it's still relatively new. But to your point, there's guys like Jonathan Kuminga. Everyone was excited about him.
Mm-hmm. And now nobody wants him.
Now nobody wants him because we've seen him play for a couple of years. I'm not saying Peyton Watson's going to turn into that because I think Peyton Watson has different skill set that Kuminga does. Peyton Watson can actually shoot a little bit. He can handle the ball. He can pass a little bit. He can do a little bit of everything. But you're right in the fact that we fall in love with these guys because we haven't seen their flaws all in our face. We haven't seen Peyton Watson completely flail in the playoffs when he's a counted player. When that happens, they're like, oh, this guy stinks. But right now, we haven't seen that because he was hurt in this playoff run that he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, he really wasn't like a main guy. He's been hurt. So I think it's just the NBA, we love the unknown. We love the European guy that comes over that we've never seen before play. We love these guys. And then we see him play, we're like, yeah, they're trash.
Danny calls it mystery box, and I'm very guilty of mystery box.
Yeah, I think we all are. Because it's what could it be?
Is there something to be said that if this kid
is
really good, then why is Denver trying to get rid of him? It's because they can't afford the $88 million extension.
They paid Christian Brown. That's the problem. Is they paid Christian Brown before they paid Peyton Watson, and then Christian Brown kind of sucked, and then Peyton Watson blew up. So you couldn't afford both with the Denver situation.
Yeah, because Jokic makes too much money. Jamal Murray makes too much money. Aaron Gordon makes too much money.
And so you couldn't pay Brown and then Watson. So they already gave Brown that contract, and now nobody really wants Christian Brown at his deal. So you couldn't really pay Peyton Watson.
Now we can laugh a little bit about players that Blazers have been in on over the years. We can have fun with that. Maybe next Seggy. But from a realistic standpoint, if you're a Blazer, look, I understand that he's 6'8 and super athletic and plays some defense, but you need another shooting guard? Like, where are you going to play this kid?
He's more of a forward.
Okay. You going to put Tamani on the bench, or is this kid coming off the bench?
And I hate to break it to you. Like, he's not the best of rebounders.
Right. And
is he Jeremy Grant? Like, they play different styles of game. Jeremy Grant's more of an isolation player. Peyton Watson is turning.
Jeremy's bigger, too.
Yes. Watson's turning into more of a guy who can run a pick and roll and can make a play off of that. But he still hasn't shown the ability to do it consistently for year after year. Like, the Blazers had Jeremy Grant. Nobody wanted him. He's a guy that scores 18 to 20 a night.
Dude, you know what I keep saying? You call me in January and someone's be like, dude, if we had like a 6'9 guy who could play power forward, decent defense, and shoot the ball, that'd be awesome. I'm like, yeah, you had one at home.
And so that's to your point, it's not dime a dozen, but I think you can find these guys that we fall in love with, mm-hmm. and then you overpay for them.
And I think the other problem is when you look at this Blazer team from a roster standpoint, if we're looking at it realistically before we have some fun, look, Tumani's going to play at the three, and I think it's extremely valuable that he plays at the three. But that forces Denny Avdia to play the four. The reality is this team doesn't have a four. I'd rather have Denny at the three. And if you have Peyton Watson, I'd rather have Peyton Watson at the three. So now you guys got three guys at the three. You got five guys at guards, nobody at power forward, and 15 centers. Look, as awesome as Peyton Watson may have been, and you can get into the idea of Peyton Watson and say, you know, I watched him a ton at UCLA, and I saw him at Denver, and, you know, he's a really, really good player, and $88 million, that's a good deal for that player. I don't know if it actually fits. I don't know if it actually works in roster construction, unless you can get some guys off the books, like a Shaedon Sharpe or a Scoot or something like that.
Yeah.
Because the price for Peyton Watson wasn't terrible.
No.
This isn't Trey Murphy the third who wants 15 first-round picks to New Orleans.
Right. I would much rather pay the Peyton Watson price to trade for him and then sign him to this contract where it's $22 million a year, basically, mm-hmm. about that, which, you know, sounds like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things in the NBA, that's really not that much. Like, that's a good to above-average player. That's what they make. And so Peyton Watson, still being young, you still have the hope that he can turn into something better. So I'm with you, like, there's no doubt I would love to have Peyton Watson on the Blazers roster. He would make the Blazers better. Mm-hmm. I do think there are better fits where you need guys that can rebound a little bit better because they don't have a true four. He's more of a three. He's more of a guy who wants to play on the wing. He's not going to be battling a bunch inside. So you still need some of that. But, you know, finding 6'8 guys that can move around, can play some defense, can shoot the basketball, those are hard to find. You know, I look at a guy like, everyone hates Dylan Brooks. He's not even 6'8". He's 6'5", 6'6". Mm-hmm. 6'4", maybe, I don't know. But it's hard to find guys that are going to play defense and can shoot the basketball. He can do it. And so I think Peyton Watson does have value to your point. There are better fits for the Trailblazers roster that they need.
Peyton Watson ends up in Cleveland. Has he cracked that starting roster?
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Peyton Watson, Evan Mobley.
Jared Allen.
Like, that's pretty solid. Nice. It's a pretty nice starting
That's five. Solid. It's a good pickup because, you know, Cleveland got rid of Max Strus, who mm-hmm. he's kind of filling in for, and I think he's better than Max Strus is. He definitely has more athletic ability than Max Strus and has a lot higher of a ceiling. But sometimes, you know, you kind of are what you are in the NBA. He's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. Peyton Watson has. I'm not expecting a huge, giant jump that he had. He's probably going to be a 15-point-a-game scorer, which is great in the NBA, but I'm not expecting anything more than that.
Stop me if you've heard this before. The Blazers were interested in Peyton Watson. Let's take a little walk down memory lane. How many times am I going to be told that this team is interested in somebody and is negotiating for somebody to come up with squad douche? We'll go there next. 105.1 The Fan. WebGem still coming up this hour. Get into a little bit of college football news. But speaking of that, there's a little bit of breaking news in college football we'll share with you right now. The Oklahoma Sooners have locked up their head coach, Brett Venables, to a contract extension worth $10.5 mil a year. Kudos to him on that. I am a Brett Venables fan. I think it's a huge year in Oklahoma. Let's see. Let me find this. It is a 2-year extension, which puts him through 2031, annual salary of $10.5 million. I do not see a buyout number anywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm kind of high on Oklahoma this year.
Look, Venables led them to the playoffs last year in a season where they had a really tough schedule, and your quarterback was hurt for a lot of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what it is. But I think you're right. I think Oklahoma's in line for a good year. Now, I think we kind of did this exercise because they're at the end of the top 10 in the AP. And I think that their floor is very high because I think that defense is nasty.
Yep.
And that's what Venables coaches, man. He's a defensive coach. I think Oklahoma might have the best defense in all of the nation. So I think their floor is so high. I don't know about their ceiling, but the floor, man, they're going to be good. I don't know how great they could be, but they're going to be good no matter what.
Yeah, your top two defenses in college football easily. I think you can draw straws and pick hairs between them, but I think far and away the two best defenses in college football are Oklahoma and Oregon.
Yeah,
those are the two best, and that was Venables' thing. And I think that's why people really struggled with Venables in his first years at Oklahoma, because they were like, dude, this defense is buns. And it's like, have you seen USC? Look what Lincoln Riley left you.
Yeah.
So it was going to take a while. Speaking of Brett Venables, where'd he come from?
Clemson.
Boom.
And the Clemson's fallen off a little bit once
Boom.
He left.
Boom. Still getting the guys, to Casey's point earlier, but not winning games.
9 draft picks last year.
Does Brett Venables deserve to make more money than Dan Lanning, Brian Kelly, and
yes.
Kalen DeBoer?
I don't know if he deserves to make more money than Dan Lanning. He probably doesn't deserve to make more money than Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer's been to a natty.
This is from USA Today. Kalen DeBoer, he makes 10.25 a year. Dan Lanning, he makes 10.4. Steve Sarkisian, he makes 10.8.
So if we're ranking coaches, I would have DeBoer and Lanning above Venables.
I would too as well. However, Oklahoma has that money. That's why he can get paid that. And they don't want him to go anywhere. Because there are a lot of better jobs than Oklahoma out there.
A lot?
Enough to maybe take him away if he wins a bunch of games.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You might be right.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma's a destination job for a lot of dudes, though.
I would very much think so. I
yeah, mean, you're maybe, part of, maybe I'm undervaluing
I
it.
Think you are. I think we forget how crazy they are
yeah.
in Norman, Oklahoma, and just the history of that program.
Name the Heisman. Name the Heisman.
I know. But
Jason White.
Yeah, Jason White. Josh Heupel. No, I'm joking. He went to Tennessee.
No, Josh Heupel went to Oklahoma.
No, he did, yeah. Did he win a Heisman?
He won a title.
Okay, he won a title, not
I don't
a
think
Heisman.
He won the Heisman.
Sam Bradford went number one out of Oklahoma. Obviously, Baker.
Kyler.
Caleb was out of there.
Yep.
I guess I always just think of big game Bob Stoops, who's
Barry
only won
Switzer,
like
I mean,
one
back
big
in the
game.
Day.
Where did Jalen Hurts end up?
At Oklahoma. I always think of Bob Stoops and like, oh, the great Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops won one national championship. Back in a day when you could rattle those beezies off. Come on.
Now it's impossible.
No one's going to win one this year. That's what I've decided. Nobody's winning it this year. Continuing our Peyton Watson conversation and kind of moving more towards the Blazers. Look, I was laughing with some YouTubers earlier on today and chatting about the board behind me, which I will update here in a moment after this conversation. Just
zero.
Just to prove a point. Look, man, there are times that I have kind of followed Joe Cronin and what he's doing and kind of understood a little bit of the pathway. But how many times am I going to be told that the Blazers are in on a player and not get them? And the one time I'm not told the Blazers are in on a player is the one they get in Ja Morant.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Too damn bad.
Yeah, I'm real tired.
You keep digging.
And I'm just curious, when does this get to the point where we start questioning Joe as a GM, if I'm just being honest?
Look, honestly, we should be questioning Joe as a GM for a long time. Like, this isn't the one that should be... you making it teeter back and forth. Like, now I can't trust this guy. Like, it should have been the whole time. The Norman Powell trade, let's go back and look at that. Nothing. CJ McCollum, what'd they get for him? Not a lot. Like, that's the thing.
But Damian Lillard was a good haul, and it turned into Denny Avdia and Tumani Kamara.
Right, and that's what everyone goes to, but there's been a lot of missteps as well. And now it made me go back to just like, hey, who'd he learn from? He learned from Neil O'Shea.
And if this team doesn't win, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you brought Dame back and you got off unfavorable contracts. If the team doesn't do good.
Right.
Because then the team that you're assembling isn't worth assembling.
The tough part is that the Blazers have some momentum from last season, right?
Without a doubt.
Like being the seventh seed, they lose to the Spurs in the first round, but I thought they put up a good fight against the Spurs who win the Western Conference.
I think if you find diehard NBA fans too, I think they think Mike Anori is a good hire.
I think
is a really good hire.
Look, I think going into it when they were looking for a coach, Mike Anori was at the top of my list. Like that's the guy that I want. I was like, man, this is like a guy that could actually boom, and it could be a really good coach. And they got him on a 1-year deal where he has to prove it. Like
I know,
I think that's great.
I know everybody loves Tiago.
They got me all wet. No,
but I'll take Mike Anori without a doubt.
1,000,000%.
I'll let the chips fall where they may.
Nobody was crying for Tiago when the Blazers were not good until they won a game in the playoffs. It's like, oh, he's the greatest coach ever. Get out of here with that.
I'll do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may.
Again, the best player in the league had to fall on his face for that to happen.
That is true. You have a list of the players that the Blazers were in on that did not get. I'd love to hear this.
Yeah, so I went back to 2010. You know, he could have gone back earlier, but Olshea was hired 2012.
Okay.
So to that extent, I asked ChatGPT for guys that the Blazers almost got or were showing interest in. I'll name a few of them. Jordan Farmar back in the day, Chris Paul, Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Omar Asik, Spencer Hawes, Greg Monroe, Vince Carter, Lance Stephenson, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeAndre Jordan, DeMar DeRozan, Al Horford, Dwight Howard again, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, LaMarcus again, DeAndre Jordan again, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Enes Kanter, who the Blazers ended up getting, Derrick Rose, Blake Griffin again, Aaron Gordon, JaVale McGee, Ben Simmons, Miles Turner, OG Anunoby, John Collins, DeAndre Ayton, Miles Turner, Bam Adebayo, Pascal Siakam, Jeremy Grant, Malcolm Brogdon, Trey Murphy back in 2025, add him to this season as well, Giannis, LaMelo, Jaylen Brown, Trey Murphy again, Peyton Watson, and Aaron Gordon again. The Blazers, there were all articles written that said, the Blazers have interest in this guy. The Blazers are going after this guy. You know they acquired? None of those guys.
Enes Kanter Freedom.
Right.
Carmelo Anthony, Jeremy Grant, and DeAndre Ayton. Those are the only ones they grabbed, correct?
Yes, but the Carmelo one was back in 2017 when he went to Oklahoma City.
That's when he was going to get bounced from the league.
So then I'm
going to
take him off
he
that.
He was on New York, went to OKC, Portland was in.
So then it's...
Was that before or after he went to Houston?
He went to Houston after OKC.
Okay, that's
yeah, I think it went New York, OKC, and then played for Houston for like 10 games.
Yeah.
So DeAndre Ayton.
They ended up getting DeAndre Ayton.
Which was just an awesome time here in Portland.
Right. They ended up getting him, but they had interest in him before.
Enes Kanter, who I only remember because he's the first guy to hug Dame when he hits the shot.
Right. Tell you what, I will say.
And he couldn't go to Toronto because Interpol would have arrested him.
Look, Enes Freedom. Featured WNBA star, by the way. He had a great series against... That's right. Point everywhere, everybody. Point. He had a great series against Denver in that Western Conference semis.
He did.
He was great.
He was a good player for a long time.
He was solid. He can't guard pick and roll. I still think Asia Wilson can score on him. Dude, Asia's going to cook him in
Asia
the pick and roll.
Give him 15 and 10.
Dude, the pick and roll, he sucked him. But having said that, look, the Blazers have... They're known for this. I mean, this is a... Neil Olshea playbook 101. Dude, I'm going to go out. I'm going to try to sign all these guys. I went back and I'm listening to some old Neil Olshea stuff, and he says the same things over and over. It's like, we're going to make moves. We're going to try to win. And then you end up getting Eric Maynor. And then you end up getting guys on the fringes. Get Mo Harkless. Get Al Farouq Aminu. Awesome. Great. Like, so the whole Peyton Watson not getting him, it's not a big deal. Like, missing on Peyton Watson, I don't think that's a huge deal.
I don't either.
I think it's a huge deal that now they're out there reporting again. Oh, Shams is out there saying the Blazers had interest in him.
It's just another
one. It's the same old playbook every year. And that's what bothers me is like, look, if you're going to go get someone, go get someone. But if you don't get them, that doesn't mean I have to have your agents put it out there. Or I don't have Joe Cronin telling Shams to say, hey, we wanted him. We get it. You want everybody.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 15 different times. You're just being mean.
That's the thing. And so to your point, Patrick, it's like, should we be judging Joe Cronin? Yeah, we should be. Make a move, man. Go for it. I love the John Morant trade. There's no risk in that. Like, getting Ja on this team, no risk to it. You trade Jeremy Grant, Chris Murray. They're whatever players. But then you make no other moves? This is what you're rolling with? Like, this is what you're going to put your hat on? That is Neil Olshea playbook 101.
Micah Potter? That's
Stop.
The answer?
Stop.
Brandon Carlson?
Stop.
Those are the answers?
John Tanjay. You watch out.
Jeremy Sohan?
This is what I'm... Yeah, exactly. This is Neil Olshea playbook 101, and Blazer fans fall for it every single time, and they want to defend Joe Cronin. And I defend Joe Cronin at the same time. He also's got to make some moves, man. He's under a lot of pressure. If the Blazers don't make any improvement and they're out in the first round, if they're a 7 seed, they're an 8 seed, they're in the play-in, dude, get him out of here.
I think what's really difficult is the rhetoric. It's the aesthetic of it. It's the, we're going to go in so hard it hurts. It's, we're going to make deals. We're going to make splashes. We're going to make this team better. And then when I try to put my realistic glasses on when I think about, like, why did this Peyton Watson deal not fall through? For two reasons. One, you wanted to hold on to that first round pick that Cleveland offered, or Los Angeles offered. I can't remember who ends up where the picks go. Right. I can look that up in a minute. But you didn't want to, so you held that draft pick too close to you, mm-hmm. or you didn't want to sign the guy to an $88 million extension. You can't sit here and tell me you want to be aggressive and then hold back on all these assets, quote unquote, that the Blazers are kind of flush with. But then at the same time, those assets, when you do use them, get me players that are fringe starters.
Look, the OG...
in the draft, you know what I mean? Like, DC is going to be a nice player. I think DC is going to be a very, very nice player. Donovan Klingon is my favorite player on the Blazers right now. I don't know why, I just like the big guy.
Yeah.
But the other draft picks, I'm just kind of like...
Klingon also shot 30% against the Spurs.
Yeah, he was exposed massively.
He's 7'2". Seems like he should be a matchup against Wemby. They put Drew Holiday on him. He couldn't guard him.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. I love Klingon. I'm with you. I think he's a big part of the future. He's not the end-all, the be-all. When the Blazers, a couple years ago, when they drafted Shaedon Sharpe, it was real that they were exploring an OG Anunoby trade. Guess who would have fit in perfectly with Damian Lillard?
OG Anunoby.
What did we just see with OG and Jalen Brunson? OG is the third, fourth best player on the team. Now, look, if OG's your second guy, that's a little different. But you have Damian Lillard, who is Jalen Brunson-like. Go get a guy who's 6'8", 6'9", built like just a house, can shoot, can run, can play defense, do all this stuff. But no, you go get Shaedon Sharpe. Then you go give him a contract. I love Shaedon Sharpe. I thought he'd be great. I was wrong about it. He's not. He's not great.
Bring me Scotty Barnes.
Or Pascal Siakam.
Or change your rhetoric. Change your rhetoric of, like, it's difficult here in Portland.
Right.
We have to be very smart about how we do stuff. You want to talk to me that way? Look, when I talk to Ned Grabovoy, the GM of the Timbers, he talks that way. He's kind of like, look, man, the MLS is a weird place. DPs right. are all over the place. Visas and all that comes with it. Like, I got so much to juggle here, and it's very complicated. Ned Grabovoy is not telling me, you know, we're going to go get Erling Haaland, and you better believe you're going
to
love it.
Time to
and
go then, get Bob Lewandowski.
Yeah, and then goes and gets me Vincent Janssen, which I'm really excited about, and I think he adds a nice step to the Timbers team. But you can't tell me you're going to go get Lewandowski and Erling Haaland. You're going to go get... you know, Miles Bridges.
Diego Luna.
Yeah, you can't tell me that you're going to go get Giannis and then end up with, you know, Micah Potter. Like,
you also can't tell me that it's so hard to attract free agents to Portland and then never make a trade for a big player. You can't tell me that.
The Jalen Brown thing, dude.
Like,
free agents are so difficult to bring here on contracts because the deals are just better elsewhere.
You have to make a trade,
and they never do. They always go back. Well, it's hard to get guys to Portland. Make a deal.
You could have offered
a risk.
You could have offered a better package to Boston than what Philly did.
1,000,000%.
It's not even close because Brad Stevens is up there talking about how you can't have two players be 70% of your books. Well, they traded for Paul George because it's one less year. How about I give you all these assets and two kids? If I'm Brad Stevens, I'm taking that because then I can flip it for a Peyton Watson or a Trey Murphy III and then bring in other guys. It's the scared. It's playing scared that I think is a very, very dangerous thing. And when you're a small market in any sport, outside of maybe the NFL, because no small markets exist in the NFL, you have to go for it.
And it's tough.
And you're going to have to overpay.
It's hard because it's the Neil Shea playbook that works because, look, Portland is such a good fan base, and we've talked about this with the whole Moda Center renovations, how Portland can't lose the Blazers because it's so big and the fans are great, and that is 100% true.
100%.
We get excited when the Blazers are the 7th seed and they're in the playoffs and the place is rocking. It's exciting.
So
GMs can shoot for that. Joe Cronin learned, hey, Neil O'Shea did that. He's just going to play around the edges. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to be fine.
But we also get mad that a two-way player named Caleb Love didn't get a full deal and is now playing somewhere else.
And like Trenton Watford, Jabari Walker.
Yeah, put his jersey in the rafters. Like, come on. Come on. And to Danny's point, like, kids these days are like, oh, LaMarcus wasn't that good. It's like, LaMarcus was awesome. And what did O'Shea do? Let him go.
Yep. It's hard. It's the same old story that I've seen for, 20 plus years now?
That's why I'm a Pacers fan.
I'm switching allegiances.
Who's your new team? Who would you pick? See, I grew up a Pacer fan because Reggie's my favorite player of all time. All
right.
And I lived in Spokane, so there was no, Sonics or Blazer love. But then I moved here in 97, and I picked up the Blazers, and once Reggie retired, I've been a Blazer fan.
It's hard to be like, oh, yeah, I'd be a Wemby fan and a Spurs fan, but the Spurs are run so well, and the way they're building their team is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
around Wemby. Like, it's incredible what they're doing.
Again, I was a Knicks fan, and then they blackballed my favorite player from the league.
I was a Rockets fan back in the day.
Jeremy Lin? Yeah, Jeremy Lin's your favorite player of all time?
Come on, Shumpert.
Charles Oakley.
Oh, I like Charles Oakley. Although I hated him as a player, Pacers, Knicks.
Right.
And this double zero on my jersey. I don't stand for Scoot.
Wait, hey. So are we changing that to zero or what?
No, I don't think it's bad news. I think it's business as usual.
Right.
I think it'd be bad news if Joe Cronin got a 5-year extension.
We should change it to days since the Blazers do something new.
Days since Blazers do something new. We'll think about that in the break. When we come back, a little more college football, but also how it affects the NFL or vice versa. There's Casey with sports. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line, or you can jump in on the YouTube chat, just picking up some pieces here. It's also 10 Toes Down coming up in about a half hour, a little more than a half hour. So get those in. Questions you have for us that we can't wishy-wash on. On the text line, you guys make fun of me 15 or 16 more times and I'm out of here. I truly believe that's a very good way to put this. It's kind of just like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. 3U, 4U, 5U. But I'll tell you what, you get to 6 or 7, I might have to take accountability.
Are we
for this.
Squeak, Scolari?
A little bit. Portland Trailblazers?
Squeak. This is bad.
Squeak, yeah.
We're squeak. I can't believe it.
This other texter, seeing the only pickups trades we're doing are buy low and hope it works out is wholly uninspiring for this fan base as well. That I totally understand. It's like a mix of what you were saying. Like, Jaw is a great deal. I think Jaw is a great move because it is low risk.
Right.
It's low risk with a high ceiling. But I think this texter also has a great point when you see that over and over and over again. Like, if you're the Celtics, if you're the Pacers, okay, Hallie's coming back this year. You're the Pacers, and you're kind of like, all right, Pascal Siakam, Hallie, let's see. Can they get this momentum going again and get into the playoffs and do some stuff? Whoa, they just got Ja Morant? Like that.
Well, look what the Pacers did this year. The Pacers sucked. They took a risk, and it may not have worked out. They traded for Zubac. They traded for Zubac in a year where they suck, and they traded their first-round pick, hoping that they would keep their first-round pick.
It cost them the fifth overall pick.
It cost them the fifth overall pick. But
in a loaded draft.
But they risked it because they said, look, we want to get a guy like Zubac to play with Halliburton, to play with Siakam, to play with all their other guys, because we were just in the finals, and we saw the Knicks, who nobody thought was going to make it to the NBA. No one thought to make it to the finals. They go and they win the NBA finals. So the Pacers are right there when Halliburton comes back healthy. Like, they went, they're going for it.
Their
like,
fan base is happy that they made the swing.
That is a definition of going for it. They're saying, like, we're going to risk it. And it may not have worked out. You lost out on the fifth pick in the draft. But guess what? Now you got an all-star in Zubac, basically, to go with Halliburton and Siakam. And you got a shot. And you get to the finals. That's all you got. They were game 7 with the OKC Thunder. Halliburton, Achilles tear away from winning a championship.
The guy who sits in your chair believes they would have won that game.
And the East only got...
I'm with you. I think OKC would have had it.
It's so hard to know.
But Danny believes, and I don't think he's wrong. No. I disagree, but I don't think he's wrong. Hallie might have won that game for him.
There wasn't a fourth quarter where Tyrese Halliburton
was
the best player.
He was incredible. He was incredible.
Hey, and catch this. Let's talk about that Zubac thing, okay?
Yeah.
It cost you a top 5 pick in the draft, in a loaded draft. Who's the GM of the Indiana Pacers?
That'd be Kevin Pritchard.
And I know there's Blazer ties, but let's kick that to the side for a second. Is Kevin Pritchard a well-respected GM in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody killing him for losing the fifth overall pick?
Nope.
I don't think so.
No, but that's the difference,
because
though,
he took the chance.
But that's the difference. If Joe Cronin makes that trade, he gets killed. He gets crushed.
That's fair. Pritchard does have the resume to absorb something like that. So, that's a fair point.
Not necessarily if the Portland Trailblazers are in the NBA Finals.
Right. If it worked out where, the Blazers next year, they make a trade, and then they're, like, in the Western Conference Finals, I think we're looking like, oh, good trade, Joe.
Yeah, I think you give him his ups when the circumstance lines up.
But I don't know, man. I'm gonna step back on this and maybe push back. From a national standpoint, if Joe did that deal, I think they would kill him. Locally?
Well, look at the Pelicans.
Locally, he took a shot, and everybody's been asking for it.
The Pelicans.
Can I argue that if he finally took a shot, even if it did fail, that at least they'd be happy that you're doing something? Because if Tom Dundon wants the big swing, if Dad wants the big swing and bring in somebody, but you're not making that risk, I don't think Dad's going to hang on to you for very much longer.
But look at what the Pelicans did. Joe Dumars, he's a respected guy. He traded away an unprotected first-round pick for Derek Queen.
Atrocious.
Turns out to be the eighth pick in the draft, but he gets killed for it. So I think if Joe Cronin makes a trade like that and they lose out on a top five, top ten pick, he's getting killed everywhere.
Yeah, but also...
Because Joe Dumars is respected to build championship teams, and he got killed.
Yeah, you're true. You're right. And I guess I'm trying to say that... But what I was thinking is that the Pelicans are such a dumpster fire organization
that it wasn't necessarily all on Dumars.
And it's kind of like, well, there's Pelicans doing Pelicans things. To where I wouldn't call the Blazers a disaster franchise. Look, they haven't won, but I wouldn't say they're a dysfunctional franchise.
I would.
I mean, we're really close to the situation, I know the Dundon stuff now looks bad. But, dude, even during Jody from afar, we don't look like a trash organization. When Paul Allen's running the show, it doesn't look like a trash organization.
I think when Jody took over, it looked like a trash organization.
Yeah, because
I think that's when the dynamic shifted.
Yes.
Especially, I think the fan base felt that dynamic shift as well.
And it's so unfortunate because it's like, look, I went back to 2010. Basically, you know, when Dame was drafted, what was that, 2012? Every fan has been like, go for it, make a trade, do it. And they haven't. And so like, that's why I can't even be like, in hindsight, losing the fifth pick in the draft, if you're the Pacers, it hurts, but they're going for it.
They are.
And I can respect that. Guess what the Blazers never have done and they never will do Olshay and Cronin. They're never going to go for it.
But that's why I wonder if it would give Cronin a little bit of leeway because at least he took a swing.
Seems like it's too late. It's too late for me.
Too late?
It's too late
okay.
for me.
Okay. Because there's been no swing.
Had he done it in 22 when they drafted Shaden Sharp and he goes for OG, I wouldn't have loved the trade, but I'd be like, I see what you're doing. Like, you're going one last time with Dame, peak Dame. You're trying to build around him.
And also, while I think he did get a great return package for Dame, it works out well in terms of the assets. You flip that, you end up getting Drew Holiday, Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia, but you had to trade Dame. It's not like you were like, ooh, I've got an idea.
You had to.
It's not Dallas going, ooh, I have an idea, let's trade Luka. This is, you had to, and you did well. Let's give him credit on that. You did well for what you had to do. However, you had to do that. And now when you want to do something, you can't.
And then when you had to get rid of Dame, you also lost a bunch of money in sponsorship.
Without a doubt. And now Blazers are at the bottom, which now... they can be kind of a dumpster franchise.
Yes. And look, and Tom,
and I hope Dad turns it around.
And Tom Dundon's come in, and his quote was he wants to trade for big players. He wants big moves. That's what he does.
And if Joe doesn't do it, he's going to get fired.
And he should. And I tend to believe Tom Dundon wants to make these moves, and I tend to believe he's going to be an owner that goes for it. He pays money in the NHL to get players on this roster. Now, that is if Tom Dundon doesn't want to flip the Blazers for a profit. Don't know. We'll see. All that kind of stuff. But look, if Tom Dunn is the owner, he's going to want to win. He is a crazy person that wants to win, and so he's going to do what he can. I think he's going to be like, look, you got to make a trade. We got to be better. The 7-8 seed's not going to be good enough.
Blazer coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. When we come back, Web Gems, everybody's favorite. 105.1 The Fan. All right, this is everybody's favorite. Web Gems do it every single day at 11:45, but don't worry. The Big Nooner is next. Get back into that college football conversation. Who would you rather have, Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman? Both guys on the same trajectory, very different styles, but very, very successful and very, very likable characters, I would say, too, but also for very different reasons. Plus, it's a 10 Toes Down Thursday, 503-864-6326. You ask the questions, a Stevie Midday version of 10 Toes Down. No wishy-washy, no vacillating. We'll give you the straightforward 2 feet flat on the ground, 10 Toes Down at 12:15. Today's Web Gems comes to you from the great state of Oklahoma. Quote, I've had a couple of armadillo problems tearing up my lawn. Finally, a couple days ago, I just popped up at 2:30 because I couldn't sleep and was thinking about something, and I thought it was a great opportunity to go outside. Luckily, I found him. This was my first experience with an armadillo. He was crushing my yard, my flower beds, was digging everything up, but I got him about 2:30. Had to send a text message to my neighbors. I apologize for the gunshot. I'm in the country, so it was legal, but I did get rid of him. That is new Oklahoma State head coach Eric Morris.
I tell you what, I bet those Stillwater folks, they are loving all that.
They are obsessed with it.
That is... And look, maybe this is the Oregonian in me.
Oregonian in you?
Oregonian. Stevie Freedom.
Stevie Freedom over here.
Not Stevie Woke. I'm more Stevie Woke on this one. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I spent a lot of time in Idaho, and those people hate wolves. And it's like, do you know wolves are in danger? And they're like, good, get rid of them. And I'm like, not my jam. Where did Eric Morris come from? Where did he used to coach?
North Texas.
How close is North Texas to Oklahoma?
Probably pretty close.
Probably pretty close. So I think he's fully aware of this. Look, this is how you get fan base for sure.
100%.
He is building like the sickest amount of hype with zero expectations, I feel, at a Power 4 school this year. Because like let's take Bob Chesney, okay, at UCLA. I think there's a lot of smoke around Bob Chesney and what he can do with that program and the money that they've invested, that it's created expectations. We've walked through the UCLA schedule couple times, and there's a couple games there I'm like,
big game week one against Cal.
UCLA at Michigan? Like, what if Michigan is garbage by November, you know?
And I know you added Derek Carr to the staff, but he's not playing out there.
To where Eric Morris and Oklahoma State were maybe the worst Power 4 team in college football last year.
Yeah, they lost to Tulsa. They were atrocious.
When Paul Wolf was fired at Washington State, the Cougs hired the great and immortal legend Mike Leach. Mm. One of the first things Mike Leach did when he got to Pullman, he went hunting and shot a bear. Now, that's not my jam. I'm not really into that kind of stuff. You know, Patty Woke over here, who thinks Bernie Sanders is conservative. Not my jam. But let me tell you, them Eastern Washington folk, they were like, hell yeah, brother. I hate them damn armadillos, too.
Get them.
A lot of pickup trucks out in Eastern Washington is what I'm hearing.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
A little rusty red pickup. That's what I imagine.
Armadillos may be active year-round, but they are most active during warmer months of the year. During the heat of the summer, homeowners begin irrigating their lawns. This makes lawns especially attractive to the armadillo. The lawns are usually mowed, and thus there is little vegetation to impede foraging. Additionally, the irrigation results in the soil being loose and easy to dig. Finally, the irrigation often keeps larval insects close to the soil's surface. Once armadillos find a suitable foraging spot, they normally will return repeatedly. Many times the damage is only superficial, as the holes are seldom more than a few inches in depth. In the case of sod-forming turf such as Bermuda, the damage is typically repaired by the turf rather quickly. In the case of cool season grasses such as fescue, the damage is more long term. That comes from the oklahomastate.edu website.
Yeah.
Does that sound like they're a little anti Eric Morris and killing the armadillo?
No, because
this seems to me like they're anti armadillo.
Typically repaired by the turf rather quickly.
No, because they're saying, look, they're going to destroy your lawn. And we love old people. We love our lawns.
They're cute little fatties, though, armadillos.
Armadillos will not attack humans. They're shy, peaceful animals, but they can carry bacteria that causes leprosy.
Get them out of there.
Though getting it from
the a cascade of booze rained down from the stands.
I'm on Eric Morris's side now.
Yeah, we changed just real quickly.
From an armadillo is often very rare.
Yeah, people can kiss my ass.
Yeah. That's too bad, man. I like those little fatties, man.
They're cool looking.
They're like stubby legs, and they just kind of...
They're like little tanks.
Yeah, dude, I'm kind of into it.
They're rolling around.
I mean,
leprosy? I'm out.
Moles in your yard?
Yeah, but the leprosy, it's a hard pivot.
That's a hard no. Hard no.
Look, I'm still in the world of like not killing animals, but I, from here on out, never want armadillos around me.
Yeah, I don't want to kill them. I just want to like... Yeah, you got to find a way to get them out of there.
Plus, they can climb and burrow.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm out.
Eric Morris, Mestemaker. Are they a team to watch?
I tell you what, they host Oregon this year. I don't think it's a game that Oregon's going to lose, because Oregon doesn't lose these games, right? When Oregon has more talent than the other teams, they're going to win with Dan Lanning.
Sure.
I'm interested to see how that game goes.
Dylan Raiola might throw for 3 touchdowns that game.
Right. The offense I'm more interested in, but they got a lot of North Texas guys. And North Texas, I thought, was the best group of 6 team. They didn't make the playoff. They ended up losing their final game to Tulane to get to the playoff. I thought they're the best team in the group of 6 all year. So I'm interested to see what it looks like.
He just freaked me out. He said Dylan Raiola, and I was like, what? Oh, right. Backups, blowouts.
Yeah, it'll be a 70-point game.
It's a 9 a.m. game in Stillwater.
Oregon will name their score offensively, but I want to see how the – tell you what, we talked about the Oregon defense being really awesome. That's a good little test. start of the year.
Let's play this fun game real quick with Oklahoma State. We love it on this show. At Tulsa.
Win.
Nope.
Hosting Oregon.
Tulsa's
nice.
Yeah, they are nice this year. Oregon, that's a win, loss.
Hosting Murray State.
You got one.
Dub.
At West Virginia.
Ooh. Rich Rod year two. I'll give him the win.
I think I'm going to give him the win, dude. Mestemaker is a preseason Heisman watch.
Year two, Rich Rod, you're hoping for West Virginia that they've got something figured out.
What is this, 20 years ago? Why are we giving Rich Rod any sort of credit?
I want to say he's...
The last time Rich Rod was good was at West V 20 years ago.
I love West Virginia's jerseys.
I think Pat White's suiting up, though. Him and Steve Slayton are back. Don't
worry
about it.
Here we go.
Tavon Austin's coming back.
The next week is home against UCF.
Probably a win.
That's a loss. UCF.
Scott Frost, get out of here. Is he drunk right now? Or?
At Houston.
That's a loss.
Home against Colorado.
Easy dub.
Dude, that program is
dub.
At Iowa State on Halloween.
That's a win. Iowa State's terrible.
At Kansas State.
Loss.
Home against Texas Tech.
Loss.
I might take a loss against Iowa State as well.
Iowa State's really bad, though. They lost everybody.
At Arizona State. Look, I don't know what to think about Arizona State. I have no idea what's going on
loss.
There.
I got them at 5-5 right now.
And then home finish the year against Kansas. Bowl game?
Yeah. I think
Eric Morris, Mestemaker in a bowl game?
I think six wins. I think they're a six-win team.
How is Mestemaker a Davey O'Brien candidate preseason, and we've got him at 5.5 wins?
We got him at 6 wins at the Big 12. The Big 12. Six wins.
They skip Utah and BYU. They don't even do the shootout anymore. They don't even do Bedlam anymore.
They better make a bowl game. Those losers.
I'm pro Eric Morris in Oklahoma State.
Pro Armadillo.
The Big Nooner is next. 105.1 The Fan.